The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms.
It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manning.
Johann Ilgen Fritz was given 12 months to live. That was 10 years ago. This is Robert Manning, host of Guys Guys TV, and this week my special guest is the CEO of UK Health Radio, Johann Ilgen Fritz. It all starts right here, right now, on Guys Guys TV.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It's Guys Guy Radio.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it's the interview portion of our show, and welcoming in our YouTube and Rumble viewers to the network. And my very special guest today is Johann Ilgen Fritz. He is the CEO of UK Health Radio. You might be familiar with that because our show is featured. I'm a presenter there four times weekly and also on demand. And what we're going to talk about today is really the journey from a health scare, if you will, to recovery, and also changing a business model from one of an image business into one of the business that we're doing now, which is all about helping people manage their health. And I have so much in common with Johann, and he's been such a good friend and inspiration for me that I'm thrilled to have him on the show. So let me tell you a little bit about Johann. He had a master's in photography in Germany, and he worked as a fashion photographer for 20 years in Hamburg and London, two cities that I love. I was in Hamburg last year, and I fell in love with it immediately. It's just so green and so beautiful and so diverse, and the people are so nice, and the food was so fantastic there. I couldn't believe it. Johann's life changed drastically in 2011 when he had a heart attack. And then 6 months later, he was diagnosed with cancer. I had a similar situation in 2014. I was out running and I had a pain in my side, and it was over the 4th of July weekend and I couldn't get to a doctor, and I was in intense pain. And I went in the following week and I found out I had not only a kidney stone, but I had a growth on each kidney. But that was 10 years ago. So we both have a success stories with this. Now for Johann, he underwent unsuccessful radiotherapy and he was left to find other survival options, which he did. And during his search, he decided that and learned that on the internet, there was really no one source for a central point for health information, regardless of what your health issues are. So he decided and very quickly put together the platform. 6 weeks later, he launched the beta version of UK Health Radio, and he's been fighting cancer. It was fighting cancer at the same time. He changed his lifestyle, he changed his nutrition, and all of a sudden his health got better, and the network took off, and UK Health Radio is the number one talk health station in the world right now. And I'm pleased to be a presenter there. I want to welcome Johann Ilgen Fritz to Guys Guys Radio. Welcome, Johann.
Thank you, Robert. Absolute privilege to be here with you. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
Well, I love doing the show and I love UK Health Radio, and you're doing a very special work. But first, I think our listeners and viewers want to learn a little bit more about you. I mentioned your fashion photography background. I was also in the image business. I was in advertising for a lot of spirits brands in New York City on Madison Avenue for many years. And then I had health issues and I changed directions, and I'm doing what I'm doing now. And you had health issues and you changed direction. You're doing what you're doing now. And we synced up, and it's working for both of us. So tell us a little bit about what was it like being a fashion photographer in a fun time in Hamburg and London? And then what happened? What was your wake-up call that you got that changed the direction of your life?
Yeah, being a fashion photographer was a absolute well,
yeah.
25, unmarried, traveling all over the world with some of the most beautiful people, not only girls, not only women, but people on the planet. It was really a very thrilling way to earn a living. It really was. At the age of 25, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. When you're a bit older, it turns to hard work because you still got to do the party side of things.
Right.
It's very important in that industry. Well, it was. I don't know. I'm not sure how it is at these days, but it was. And then it gets a little harder. As I said, it's more hard work, but I mean, I was at the forefront of digital photography. I had a studio in Hamburg, as you mentioned before, and I also had an agent here in London. So I was working in both cities at the time, and we had the first fully digital studio in North Germany. There was one in South Germany before us, but we were the first North German fully digital studio. And it was, wow, it was really exciting. It was, you know, I look at my phone now and I think, my goodness, I used to walk around with a battery pack that weighed 20 kilograms around my waist. And I had an assistant next to me with a laptop, and we had like cables running from the camera into the laptop and all kinds of things. It wasn't like it is now, but it was amazing. It really was.
When you were a photographer, what do you think, because I was also in the image business, a lot of print shoots. What was the key to being a successful photographer? Is it what do you see that makes you different and to be able to capture those images? Is it something that's innate, like some people are just good photographers, or is it that plus a lot of technology and also being able to bring out the soul of the person that you're shooting?
Yes, it's a combination of many things. The most important two things I would say is simplicity, even though simplicity in the image. What goes around to create that image is sometimes not very simple. It's actually sometimes it's a huge setup with many people and many lights and everything. But the image portrays simplicity. And I think the other very important thing is the photography's ability to see detail. I think those are probably the two main components. Well, it was to my photography, the fashion photographer that I did, and that was liked very much. So, in my case, I can't talk about journalism or anything like that. I never really partook in that, or beauty or product photography, but in the fashion photography that I was doing, I think that was the main key. I actually focused on those two things that really took me further.
Now, were you shooting, was it about the models, or is it about the clothing lines, or is it about specific ads or specific products and brands?
It was actually a combination of both. When you're doing fashion photography, when you're working with well-known people, well-known models, you've got to incorporate them into the photographs. It's about the clothes, but you can't ignore them completely. You definitely have to join the two. If you are doing more, I say, a catalog sort of things with not worldwide known models, then it's basically about the clothes. Let's face it.
Mm-hmm. Did you do any tabletop product photography, like for high image? Like we did a lot of like Bombay Sapphire. We used to have designers create martini glasses, really high end designers, and then we'd have Craig Cutler, I think was his name. He would shoot the ads for us.
Mm-hmm. I did it for a very well known beauty brand, a German beauty brand, starts with an N. Everybody knows it. They had their headquarters. They have their headquarters in Hamburg, and I worked very successfully for them for many years, not only on the product side of things, but also then with the beauty photography.
Okay.
So it was funny because I was able to do both. I didn't do photography as an apprentice. I studied photography. I went to university. And there we had to learn to do everything. We had to, you know, our thesis and everything was about product photography, fashion photography, and everything else. So I was able to, it's actually very uncommon that a stills photographer would be a fashion photographer. And I actually worked under two different names. I did the still work under my name, Johann Ilgenfritz, and I did the fashion photography under another name, under Gecko. Was my artist's name in the fashion photography.
Amazing.
So people here in London knew me as Gecko. They didn't know I did anything else in Hamburg. And the people in Hamburg, the big, as I said, the big beauty brand did know of my fashion work here in London as well. So
fantastic.
I was lucky. I could do both, and I did. Fortunate enough, yeah.
Keeps you busy. So what happened then? So you got a wake-up call, and it was about an illness. What happened to you?
Yes, at the age of 46, this was in 2011, beginning of 2011, I had a heart attack on the tennis court. And it wasn't life-threatening or extremely a massive heart attack or anything like that. But 6 months after that, there I was, really not feeling very well. And the doctors were really, they didn't know what was happening because they couldn't work out why I wasn't feeling better or getting better or progressing the way I should have. I should have been almost back on the tennis court by then, and I was very far away from that. And that's when I was diagnosed with two kinds of cancer. Actually that then spread, went to the lungs, the spleen. I had seven tumors all in all. Yeah, I even had one in my left eye. And that was literally, well, I separate the two. I say that was my first cancer diagnosis because I got another one later on. And that the first one wasn't the wake-up call yet. I was in such a state when I got that diagnosis. I mean, we're talking tumble dryer here. We're not, mm-hmm. You know, it was just, I didn't know what was happening. I stumbled into radiotherapy.
What is that? For those who are not aware of it.
Radiotherapy is it's another kind of therapy, like chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm. Is it with frequency?
It's a frequency. It's an actual radiotherapy treatment, which I stumbled into, doing two sets all in all of 12 each. And in October of that year, I was given the cancer all clear. But there was something, Robert, this was a funny thing. The good thing that came out of that first diagnosis is I had that feeling of not being part of the process. I had no duties. Nobody told me what to do. They didn't say to me, eat this or don't eat that. They didn't say, keep on doing sport or don't do sport. My only duty was to be there for the treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And this really worried me. There was something telling me that you weren't part of this process, Johan. You were just there. You were shipped there. You were done to. You were not taking part in anything. But you know what it's like when things return to normal. People, I did the same thing, carry on as normal, as before. But that changed very quickly at my first post-cancer screenings, where my oncologist at the end of the screenings called me in and said to me, look, we don't know what happened. The cancer is back with a vengeance. It's spread almost everywhere. And she gave me 12 months to live. She said, there's literally nothing left for us to do that with the aggressiveness and the speed that this cancer, and you realize I say this cancer and not my cancer, this cancer had spread, she said she'd never seen anything like it. And if it would continue like that, I would have a maximum of 12 months.
Wow, amazing. My special guest on Guys Guys Radio, Johan Ilgenfritz, and we're talking about, he is the CEO of the UK Health Radio Network, and we're talking about his the change in his life when he was a fashion photographer. He had a heart attack, he got cancer, he thought he was better, and then came back with a vengeance. So what happened at that point? I mean, was this, let me ask you this. Did you think about the causes? Was it, you think lifestyle, stress, any type of food you ate, eating, drinking, whatever, had a prominent role, or was it random for you?
At that stage, I had no idea. I knew only one kind of medicine, mainstream medicine. Mm-hmm. I had no idea about lifestyle. Things that you could do to help with your health. I remember sitting in her office, in my oncologist's office, and with the second time I was diagnosed then. And the important part of it was my reaction. There was no tumble dryer. There was a voice I could hear. I still hear it, actually. A voice in the back of my head screaming at me, saying to me, you're not going to die. You now go and you find another option to do this. I want to mention this because it's really important. And it was really important to me at that stage. I have two boys, and the one was almost 12 and the one was almost 3 at that stage. So over and above my beautiful wife and everything else, I had a lot to live for. Mm-hmm. And I was still wanting to get back into the fashion industry and get back to photography, et cetera. So it all played in many cases. People say, yes, but doctors shouldn't give patients a time limit, mm-hmm. I agree. In some people, it actually demoralizes people. In my case, it was the exact opposite. It activated me. I knew, okay, Johan, you got 12 months maximum. So you better get out there, you better get going, and you better find a way not to die, literally. Mm-hmm. So, and that's where my journey started, if I could put it that way. I went home that day, made the biggest mistake of my life, not telling my wife about the 12 months. I told her that the cancer was back, but I did not tell her that they'd given me 12 months to live maximum. She found that out, of course, because I got ill really quickly and rapidly. But yeah, I could have had even more support. I mean, I had support, tremendous, but I could have even intensified that if I had told her. I think if anybody's out there listening, I think tell the people that can help you. Now, don't tell people that are going to bring you down. That's the other side of it. But if you think you got a good friend or a spouse or a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever that is going to accelerate you, is going to invigorate you and help you, they have to know about it because you need that energy.
So what did you do?
So I went home. I started looking on the internet. Now we're talking 2000. This is now 2012 already. There wasn't a fraction available compared to today's times on everything. And it took quite a long time for me to do this. And about 7 months into my allotted 12, I read a sentence in the internet that literally changed my life. The sentence was, cancer cannot survive in an oxygenated alkaline cellular environment. Now, this was discovered by Dr. Warburg, a German biochemist. In 1931, He actually won a Nobel Prize for that discovery in 1931. But for some reason, when I read it, all the lights went on in my stadium, as I always call it. Before that, it felt as if I was standing in a dark stadium. But when I read that, it just all came on. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, and I actually woke my wife. I woke Rafaela, and I said to her, "I have found a way not to die." Those were my exact words. And what it means is, I just wanted to explain this because it just makes sense. I'll do it very quickly. We all have a pH level in our bodies. We have two, actually. The blood has a pH, and yours, and you have a pH level in your cellular, in your cells. Now, the blood pH you can't change. That is regulated by your body. But on a cellular level, you can influence it dramatically, actually. So 7.2 is neutral. Everything above that is alkaline. Everything below that is acidic. And a known fact, cancer cells feed on sugar. So everything that's acidic turns to sugar, turns to glucose on a cellular level. And that's what cancer cells feed from. This is very basically put, but this is how I understood it. And this is what flipped the switch in my head. So I knew that if I could alkaline my body, I would starve the cancer to death. And that's basically what I did. It's not a quick fix. It wasn't in my case. It took 2.5 years. Two of the tumors were operable, but the others weren't. So they took 2.5 years to go away. But yes, it's science. It just is that way. This actually caused many reactions within me, positive things. I realized that I think this was probably the biggest realization. I realized that the cancer wasn't the cause of my illness. It was merely a symptom of a sick body. And when I say body, I mean as a whole.
It was
body,
sick.
Mm-hmm. Mind, emotion, and everything else. It's all involved. I didn't know that at that time. I thought it was only physical body, but everything plays a part in that. Mm-hmm. So if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And that was my starting point. It was like I'd found the energy to win a marathon. It was unbelievable, you know. So, and that's when I started. We started immediately. My wife and I, Rafael and I, we literally the next morning started researching this. And as we researched, we implemented and tried. And if things worked, we kept on. If they didn't work, we didn't. That kind of thing.
So, what type of things did you change in terms of your diet? Obviously, there's alkaline. The acidic body creates cancer. Alkaline. I drink alkaline water all the time now. Not when I eat, because you need your stomach acid, but there's actually, I'm in Carlsbad, California, and there is a well. You can go up and you fill up your, costs like $1.20 a gallon. And I just drink that water all the time. I was actually at the pool yesterday, and somebody was saying, "Why are you drinking that water?" And I explained that it's alkaline water, and it's good because if your body gets acidic, that's how you get sick. And I was surprised that nobody there, I was like seven of us in this hot tub, and nobody knew anything about that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the issue, that people are unaware that there's things that we can do to put ourselves in a preventive state. And that's like the lifestyle, perspective, managing stress, and all other things. So what are some of the lifestyle changes you made, including your diet, Johan?
Well, I literally became a vegetarian overnight after reading that sentence. About 3 weeks later, I was a vegan. Mm-hmm. Today, and I have been now for probably about 11 years, I've been an alkaline vegan, so I only eat alkaline foods.
Give us an example.
The listeners, download a...
What are some of those foods?
Actually, very, very easy. And you can download an alkaline chart in the internet. There are thousands of them, literally. Find one that's simple. Some of them you need a degree in computer science to work out. But There are many out there that are really good. So, I mean, I'm just reading this. I'm not a nutritionist, so I'm not telling anybody what to do. But this is the kind of foods that we eat. Just like spinach, greens, in all kinds, you know, all kinds of greens. Zucchini, I think you guys in America call it. We say courgettes. In the UK, but in Germany as well, it's also a zucchini. Raw tomatoes, very important. A raw tomato is alkaline. A cooked tomato is extremely acidic. But you have to be careful. Coffee, tea, they're terrible. An espresso acidifies your body by 300%.
Wow.
So literally, I cut everything out. I had this motivation. I knew I could. I felt I could do it. And about 3 months into this process, after I read that short sentence, I had a surge of energy, Robert, that was so incredible. I explain it in this manner. I always say that to any other person, it was probably nothing more than a 2-foot swell. But for me, it was like I was surfing a tsunami. For the first time, not even since I got ill, even many, many years before that, I had a surge of energy that I hadn't experienced for years, 15, 20 years. And that was even better because I knew I was on the right track then. Because up to now, we were like just, you know, going, trying this, trying that. But that feeling that I got was, it just said to me, keep on, you're on the right track. Keep on doing what you're doing.
Fantastic. How did you factor in stress? I felt that when I was diagnosed, that one of the leading factors was I was in such a stressful job. I was president of a small ad agency that was struggling, and it was very, in my opinion, there was a lot of dysfunction going on, and it was tough clients. It was brutal. And I think that contributed to my getting sick. That's just me. I'm not saying anything about the place. It doesn't exist any longer, but I just felt that contributed to my health issues. How did you see stress as a factor, if at all?
Absolutely. As we continued on this journey, this side of lifestyle became apparent, and we researched it as well. And one of the first things we stumbled upon was stress. So what we did, the same as with the photography, we analyzed it. We analyzed what could be, what my stress issues were. And we realized that it was time pressure. You know, as a photographer, you are always under the gun, always. You never enough time to do anything properly, you know, because, you know, every day on set is costing a client $80,000,
right?
Kind of thing, you know. So you're always being pressured, and we thought, well, okay, we're not going to get you. Nobody's free of stress. Nobody escapes it, but the way you manage it is the important part. So we looked at my lifestyle, at my day, and everything changed. I joke, I say now I get up in the mornings when I used to go to bed. It's not quite the same, but almost, you know. So I lengthened my day to give me time to do things at a human pace and not a racing car kind of thing. And that really proved very productive for me. I get up very early in the mornings. I get up at 3:30, 3:45 in the mornings. I run a lot. I do a lot of running. Is very important because that little sentence, cancer cannot survive in an oxygenated, that's the first part, alkaline cellular environment. So sport has become really very important in my life. I meditate, which was also a complete new experience. So if anybody is listening and they think, yeah, but meditation, I thought exactly like that. That was my exact reaction when my wife said to me, meditation, we've got to look at that. You know? Yoga, I tried yoga. Didn't work, doesn't work for me. I've tried it many times over the years. My wife actually says I look like a fallen over dead tree when I do yoga. And it feels like it. It's just so uncomfortable. And so I run, I stand up paddleboard. So that's a very important part. So yes, just to get back to your question, sorry, I digress. I lengthened my day to relieve myself of that time pressure. And it's so important. You have to analyze your life really closely and make the changes you need to make. Very important. So it's not only what your food eats or what you eat, what your food eats, what it's sprayed with, what it's genetically tampered with, et cetera, et cetera. That's only 50% of it. This is just my the way I see it. All that we've spoken about now is only 50%. The other 50% is what you think. That internal language that we all have. If you have an incorrect internal language, you can make yourself ill. It's unreal. We all know this now as well. There's so many aspects of it. There's, I don't know if you've heard of New German Medicine, where they've actually now discovered that trauma in your life can actually lead to an illness later on and all those kind of things, you know. So it's really interesting. But as I said, 50-50, it's definitely a 50-50 split in my case, definitely.
Okay, my special guest on Guys Radio, Johann Ilgen Fritz. He's the CEO of UK Health Radio, the world's largest talk health radio station. It's digital around the world. I'm on 4 times every weekend and on demand. Guys Radio. And we're talking about Johann's journey from cancer to health. Here he is right now. So what did you adapt over that time frame? You got better. The tumors kind of dissipated. What tweaks have you made over the last 10 years in terms of your health, your eating, and whatever, in terms of fine tuning?
Yes, tremendous amount of changes. Small ones. They're not like the first ones, the going vegan and the going, you know.
Are you still vegan?
It's never like that.
Are you still vegan?
I am. I'm still today an alkaline vegan, and I will be for the rest of my life.
Okay.
As I mentioned, meditation plays a very big part in my life. I actually, my running has actually become an extension of the meditation. Mantras play a huge big role in my life. That's because that's part of my mental health is actually controlled by some of the mantras that I have created for myself. Very important ones. As I said, the sport side of things, very important. Intermittent fasting. I tried fasting. I can't do it. I can't even do a 3-day fasting, never mind a 10-day or a 30-day fast. So I do intermittent fasting, but I do it continuously. I've been doing intermittent fasting now for, must be ongoing on four and a half, 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I eat lunchtime, my main meal. Before 6 in the evening, I have something really small. And then I don't eat again until the next lunchtime. So very important, really important.
Now, have you lost weight since you began your regimen?
I have, yes. I basically weigh now what I weighed when I was 18, 20. I lost, all in all, I lost about, must have been about 14 or 15 kilograms. I'm not sure what that is in pounds. So not tremendous amount of weight. I never really suffered with being overweight or anything. I've always been a tall, skinny dude. Mm-hmm. But yeah, even I lost, I think it was 13 or 14 kilograms, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
So your energy, the main thing, I think, is one of the main things is your energy now is dialed way up. Even though you're 10 years old, you probably have, sounds like you have more energy now than you did 15 years ago.
Absolutely. I mean, last year I ran 3 half marathons. Mm-hmm. I stand up paddleboard on the Thames here in London. People think I'm crazy, but it's so incredible.
I love it.
I go there. I catch the bus there. I got my stand up paddleboard, pump up one on my back. I go there early in the morning, 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock in the morning on the Thames is probably the most magical place you can be. You know that I call it my silence. Mm-hmm. It's so amazing. Even the birds ignore you when you're on the water. It's unreal.
Do you need a wetsuit for that in the Thames?
You do, especially now, this time of year, yes. But in summer, not, of course. In summer, it's and on a standard paddleboard, you don't fall off that often. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, perhaps, but after that, you know, it's pretty safe, actually. So, yes.
So now you've got UK Health Radio. How many years has it been in existence? What was your objective? Has the objective changed? And tell everybody what's going on and what the network, if you will, offers listeners.
Absolutely. UK Health Radio actually started in the beginning of my journey, almost right in the beginning, because I didn't want other people to have to go through what I went through to find answers, to find solutions, to find whatever you want to call it. Like I had to. It took me 7 months to find that stupid little sentence. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I didn't know it was going to be radio in the beginning, but I wanted to create a platform, something that people could go to for information. Of course, it was cancer orientated in the beginning, but it soon changed to everything, all kinds of health. And that was basically the beginning of UK Health Radio. People asked me why radio. Actually, two things. I've always found radio a very personal medium. And if it's done correctly, and we do it correctly on UK Health Radio, anybody anywhere in the world listening to us would feel as if they're being spoken to directly, mm-hmm. as if they're the only person listening. And that is literally the secret of good radio, is to do it. If you're going to do it in that manner, be just authentic and be authentic, be focused on people, not talking to the world, talking to one person. I think that's a very important part of it. The other part of it was in Hamburg, the biggest music station in Hamburg have a jingle. And of course, it's in German, but translated. And it translates sort of okay. Translated into English, it says, radio goes in your ears and the message stays in your head.
Mm-hmm. I love
it. In German, it's really like a jingle. It really rhymes. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful, you know. And that just spoke to me. And that's why I decided to do radio. But I didn't want to do FM or AM. I wanted to do internet radio, which was also right in the beginning of its existence at that stage. Because I wanted worldwide. I didn't want only Germany or only the UK or whatever. And I wanted it in English. That was my main goal.
How is the listenership now? I know initially when I first got on board about a year or so ago was predominantly UK, and then it's moved to US, and now also I think India and some other places. Where are you most popular? What's the breakout?
Yeah, it's actually changed completely, the demographics. The US... A is now our biggest listenership.
Wow.
By a huge amount, followed by the UK. Then we have the Philippines, we have India, we have, of course, Europe, Germany is quite big, France is quite big, etc. So we have listeners in 54 countries now, all in all.
Mm-hmm. Have
South America, Brazil.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah,
as well.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so, I always say the first 3 months after we launched UK Health Radio, we had 2 listeners. I was the first. I was the one.
And
I think Rafaela, my wife, was the second one. She's never admitted to it. She's never said, yes, it was me. She's never admitted it. But I can almost
Now, have you gotten any pushback from the mainstream? Because the medicine is a hot topic these days. Ever since 2020, and sometimes when nobody really talks about prevention like we do, and about taking care of yourself. And my life was saved by allopathic medicine. My surgeon got two growths out of me, and I didn't have to have chemo or anything, and I did Ayurvedic protocols to clean up my landscape, my internal landscape, and I changed my diet, and I changed my perspective, and I practice TM, and I'm a runner and a swimmer and everything else, and I eat a very clean diet, and so I'm taking care of myself, but I was saved by my doctor. So I think, in my opinion, you can have both, and we need both, but there seems to be a little bit of a pushdown about having a healthy dialogue. So have you gotten any pushback from the mainstream medical, WHO type system where they're trying to put the guardrails on?
We haven't. And I think there's a very good reason for that. Even throughout COVID and everything, we are, UK Health Radio is not a natural health station only, or we do everything. We do mainstream health, or modern medicine, or whatever you want to call it. I don't call it alternative because I hate the word alternative in conjunction with what we do, Robert. But I call it mainstream health and natural health. We do both. We do everything. So, and we don't play the one up against the other either. Each presenter, each show, they all have their own opinions. They all have their own experiences. And they speak it. But we don't play like the one up against the other one.
Right.
Not at all. All we do is we deliver the best quality information out there. True information and up-to-date information. That's what we try and do.
Fantastic.
And we have 1.4 million listeners now. And we get about between 300 and 500 emails a day of people asking us for information on certain conditions.
Wow.
Some of them we already covering, but of course there are others that we don't have specific shows on. We have, it's built up, we have many specific shows, and then we have what I call magazine type shows where one show would cover more than one topic, and that's how I've actually built up the content of UK Health Radio.
Okay, we're getting tight on time. I want to mention UK Health Radio's Health Triangle magazine. I'm a contributor. I write a series called Aging is a Choice. I know, Johan, your motto is health is a choice, so we're kind of simpatico on that, and I love doing it. Every month I write about my own personal journey, things I've done since my illness to take care of myself. And like yourself, I have a young son. He's 10 now. So when I was diagnosed, he was one. And I'm like, I have a lot to live for. My wife, I have a younger wife, and I had a lot going on. And I've made the changes, and I love writing the column, but it's Health Triangle magazine. So tell everybody, Johan, where they can find UK Health Radio and where they can find the magazine.
Yes. UK Health Radio. You can listen to us on the website, so www.ukhealthradio.com. Easy. You can listen to the radio on the website. We also have a listen on demand where we keep up to 18 months of shows, of all the shows. We have 41 presenters at the moment, 41 shows, 47 presenters doing 41 shows. So from that point of view, of the radio, that's it. You can also listen to us on an app. We have a UK Health Radio app, and we are on 12 of the biggest podcast platforms worldwide. So under the UK Health Radio umbrella, but on all the Spotify, the Apple podcasts, etc.
Fantastic.
Health Triangle magazine is a magazine that we started as well. We've just published issue, I think it was 120, if I'm not mistaken. It's a digital magazine, so there's no hard printing, there's no copying. It is a subscription. You can subscribe to it, download it. It's an amazing magazine. I've been accused of trying to turn. People say to me, "It looks like you're trying to turn it into a fashion magazine." Not the case. I wanted to steer clear. You know, the normal health magazine is light blue and gray.
Right.
This thing looks like a fashion magazine from that point of view, but it's only health. There's nothing in there that hasn't. There's no other content except health.
And so, health should be vibrant. It should be vibrant.
Yeah,
so it's fantastic.
And it should. Life is vibrant, and life is amazing. You know, mm-hmm. So and that portrays it. So we have 21,000 subscribers. So really big magazine. Amazing content in there. Yourself, for example, a few of our presenters as well, other presenters, but also I didn't want to create a second UK Health Radio. So we've got many people writing for us that aren't involved in the radio side of things either.
Fantastic. So UK Health Radio, Health Triangle Magazine, Johan Ilgenfritz, amazing life, amazing journey, amazing work you're doing. I'm so proud to be a member of the team, a presenting team on UK Health Radio, and a writer for Health Triangle Magazine. Thank you so much for everything you do. It's been a pleasure having you on Guys Guys Radio.
Thank you so much, Robert. And thank you to you, everything you do and what you stand for and everything else. We really appreciate having you on board, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
The station that makes you feel good.
It's Guys Guy Radio.
What a wonderful, fascinating, insightful, informative conversation with Johan Ilgenfritz of UK Health Radio. His personal journey, where he was given 12 months to live, that was 10 years ago, changed dramatically when he made some changes on how he lived, and his diet was a main part of it, and his activity and his hydration and his exercise and all of that. And of course, on the show here, Guys Guys Radio, and on UK Health Radio, we're not telling people what to do. We're not physicians here, but we're just sharing information, personal stories about what's happened. I think everybody would agree that the medical system is very crowded. It's busy. There's so many people with illnesses, and there's only enough doctors to go around. So before you get to your physician for the help you may need, you want to do everything you can to take care of yourself in making the right choices about diet, fitness, what you consume in terms of beverages, what you consume in terms of media, your stress levels. And there's so many things you can do to work with yourself and your well-being. And then when you work with your physicians, you work with your physicians. You listen to what they have to say, and they're there to help you. I know my physician, my surgeon, saved my life. And I was so glad that we caught the growth I had when we did 10 years ago, because it would have been now, it might have been a different song I'd be singing. So Guys Guys Radio, we're here, and I'm just bringing you information that hopefully you can use. If you enjoy the guests and content I bring you each and every week to Guys Guys Radio and Guys Guys TV, which is the YouTube and Rumble version that you can watch, please support us by subscribing to our platforms and channels. You want to help me out? Subscribe to my YouTube channel. That makes a big difference. So thank you so much. I'm going to see you again next week. I got another great guest coming up. And until then, like I always like to say, guys, finish first.